Good evening and welcome to Monday Night Raw, a.k.a. our Learning Center. Either way you want to look at it, tonight is the night that we have an opportunity to wrap up the previous week, and this week we talked all about being grateful. So be grateful was our topic. It's what we're going to talk about tonight, and we thank you all in advance for being here with us. Let's go ahead and welcome in our leader, Mr. Telly Iskar. Good evening, sir.
How are you, Ms. Hanson?
I'm just fine, sir, and yourself?
Doing wonderful. I want to go ahead and dive into the call. So I want you to go ahead and open us up with prayer so we can go ahead and get started.
All right. Father, we thank you for this moment. We thank you, Lord, for this hour, for the call that you've placed before us, Lord. We thank you for every word that is to be spoken tonight, Lord. We pray that it is spoken in the Spirit of God, by your direction, Lord. Word every mouth that speaks over the call tonight, Lord, and allow the speakers, whether it be someone asking a question or someone answering a question, allow our words to line up with your will. Lord, we thank you for each member that is here tonight, and we pray a blessing over all of the lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, so let's go ahead and get started, y'all. Tonight, we're doing our SMB Monday Night Raw, as you would know it as Learning Center, the SMB Learning Center. And tonight, we just talk about, in general. We have some questions from the email callers that we'll get to here shortly, you know. But before we even get into that, I actually want to kind of just recap the week as a whole. Ms. Candy, if you don't mind, just recap, you know, just from some pivotal points that were really pronounced that people should know about that may have missed the call on Wednesday or Sunday. And if you didn't miss it, just some things to recap and refresh your memory. So, Ms. Candy.
All right. One of the key things, and it was from Wednesday night Bible study, was the four aspects of being thankful. And the first was to remember what God has done. The second being tell others what God has done. Then the third, show God's glory to others. And fourth, offer gifts, that being gifts of yourself, your time, your resources. So that was the way that we kicked off the week on Wednesday night, just talking about the four aspects of being thankful. And also from Wednesday night, a very, very prominent thing that we talked about throughout the week was remembering to be thankful for the blesser and not the blessing, and not get so caught up in the things that we have, but in the God that we serve, and remembering that it's not just about, okay, you know, I'm thankful for a car, I'm thankful for this, I'm thankful for that. No, be thankful that God is who he is and God alone. Those things are tangible. They may come and go, but when we're talking about being grateful, it's making sure that we are grateful for the blesser. And then on last night, one of the questions that was posed by Ms. Shiren was, are we thankful in the difficult times? And that's something that we can always check ourselves with, because when we are going through things, sometimes we are so focused on whatever that thing is, and we forget that even though we're in the midst of a trial, even though it may seem like a hopeless situation, again, if we go back to being grateful for the blesser, we know that God is with us always. So even if that is some difficulty that you're facing with, make sure that you're still exuding thanks at all times. And one last thing from tonight, and we talked about the gifts that God gives, and the key point that I took away from that was God's gifts can only bring you joy when paired with gratitude. So it's not enough to have a gift, but you have to pair it with a grateful heart and make sure that you're not just saying I'm grateful, but actually living a life that shows God that you're grateful. So those were a couple of key points from Wednesday night and last night.
Good deal. So I hope that, you know, we was able to really hone in on those throughout the week, and those who didn't call in, I hope you was able to capture that moment real quickly, because we talked about this whole week being grateful. showing your appreciation towards God by using what God has given us, the gifts that he's given us. This is how we show our appreciation. Okay? So he's laid it out for us, and it's up to us to use. All right? So with that being said, y'all already know, time to get to our email question. And as always, we have Mr. DJ with us on this evening. How are you, Mr. DJ?
Doing just fine.
Doing just fine. Mr. DJ is doing great over there. And, you know, he sits on that spot over there, and he's going to keep it spicy and spunky for us as we get to some real talk. Okay, and tonight, Miss Candy, Mr. DJ, we have with a little challenger. Somebody you may be familiar with, Mr. DJ. Her name is Miss Tiana Simmons.
Uh-oh.
So, y'all, this is how we do it. We just have, you know, just, you know, natural talk with these questions, and she's going to sit in the hot seat tonight as she pairs up with Mr. DJ. Not up for debate, but, you know, like I always say, it's four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Different viewpoints, same direction, same target. Okay? And that's what we're doing here tonight. So it's really what it does is it challenges the mind to say, I didn't look at it like that. Okay? So, hey, you know, Mr. Tiana Simmons, are you there?
Yes, sir. Good evening, everyone.
Good evening, good evening. Now, you prepared?
Let's do it.
Okay. I bought a vision. Okay. Birdman said. All right, Miss Candy, we're going to get started with the email questions. And Miss Candy has the first email question. We'll start with our guest on this evening and then go straight to Mr. DJ. So I'm going to start with you first, Miss Tiana, and then we're going to turn it over to Mr. DJ thereafter. Miss Candy?
All right. The question is, I have a friend who always talks about how much God has blessed her. I've noticed that she rarely extends any of her blessings to others. Can we be stingy or selfish with our blessings and still show gratitude to God?
Good question. Very good question. First part of that, can we be stingy with our blessings? We absolutely can. We absolutely can be stingy because many a times we receive from him and don't follow the next step of sharing with others. Anything we receive from him, we're supposed to pass on, right? We say it in the world, pass it forward. And that's what God expects us to do. But you ask, but can we be grateful in it? Can we be grateful in our stinginess? That's a tough one. And the reason I say it's a tough one, because we can be grateful without saying a word, right? We can be grateful, for actions don't necessarily show it. We can be grateful and not share in what we're doing. So I say, yeah, we can be grateful and stingy at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mr. DJ, what you got to say about that question?
I will say you can be grateful in your own understanding and think that you're doing right by God, but if you're not sharing or telling anyone else about him, the answer is no, you're not doing right. You're not supposed to get those blessings and just sit on them. You know, God is a God of order. So I'm going to say no. You know, that person that receiving those blessings, if the person said that they noticed, not that the person witnessed to them and helped share. So I'm going to say, no, that's not in order of God's book there. So I'm going to say, no, you got it's more than just, you know, receiving and doing your part. You have to receive, and then you have to go out. And those 4 points that you all just talked about, that's what needs to be exhibited.
Okay.
Can I follow up, Mr. Carr?
Of course.
So one of those 4 aspects that we talked about is remembering what God has done. And if the individual is constantly thankful for what God has done, they are remembering what God has done. Whether or not they're sharing it with the person who says they're being selfish, is that also that person's perception? So that's where I see it. You can remember what God has done and speak on that. And that's what the person is doing.
Correct. I also agree, but at the same time, the God in me is the God in you. And if you don't share with no one to yourself, then actually what are you doing? It's just like one person that's a preacher that's called by God and has all of this knowledge. And they don't even have to be a preacher. Let me just say God has blessed them with a whole bunch of knowledge. If you keep it to yourself, what good is it going to do?
I agree with that, Mr. DJ. Absolutely agree with that. But it was from this one person's perspective. So
correct.
There we go.
All right. What you got to say, Ms. Candy? And won't you repeat the question one more time so everybody can be caught up?
I have a friend who always talks about how much God has blessed her. I notice that she rarely extends any of her blessings to others. Can we be stingy or selfish with our blessings and still show gratitude to God? What's key here is if we are just talking about it, but we never extend anything to someone, then we're not doing what we should do as far as God is concerned. Because if I have something and I see that you need it and all I'm doing is talking to you about it, that's not very helpful. It's a way that we have in our society now of people want to talk about the way that they've been blessed, and that's great. We want to share our testimony, but there is going to come a time that someone actually needs something from you. So if all we ever do is talk about it and we don't actually extend anything to anyone, God isn't getting the glory in that. So we have to look at the whole picture of it. Yes, we should share our testimonies. Yes, absolutely. But we can't be so closed off and not give of ourselves. We talked about giving of ourselves, so it goes beyond just being able to say, look at how God has blessed me. What if that person needs a ride and you never extend it? Great, I see your car, but it's only a blessing to you. It's not a blessing to someone else. So we have to go beyond just speaking about it, make sure that we're extending the blessing as well.
Okay. Well taken, point well taken. What I would add to that question is, it's the individual, okay, being selfish and stingy with their blessing, can they show gratitude towards God? I would have to say that's impossible. And I just bring up the story, as I talked about this past week. We talked about it, the rich young ruler. So he was stingy. He asked Jesus a question. So he asked God a question, because Jesus is God in the flesh, right? So he asked God a question. And he said, what do I have to do to inherit the kingdom of heaven? To the natural eye, because man judges outward, God judges inward. Okay? To the natural eye, he had it going on. But God said, it's something about your gratitude. And I'm going to show you or expose to you how you really are grateful for me as opposed to the gifts. Because if you are grateful to me as opposed to the items that you have, if the provider tells you to give them, you'll give them. Stinginess comes by way of not wanting to let go. It's a form of self-centeredness and selfishness. Does that have any place in the kingdom of heaven?
No, sir.
No.
The Bible clearly says that in the last days that people will become lovers and of themselves and their money. Is that not a form of selfishness?
Yes, sir.
It is.
It's a form of stinginess. God wouldn't put that out there if it wasn't something that he opposes. So when we say, is it showing God gratitude? Well, gratitude has to be something that God receives. And if it's not laced with faith, then how is it something that he's pleased with? So no form of stinginess, no form of selfishness can ever be tied to gratitude towards God. None. God would never give you something to hold to yourself, because then the Bible would contradict itself as it pertains to stinginess in this question, because simply the Bible tells us that, you know, we should leave riches to our children's children and children's children, right?
That's right.
Yes.
What richness, what riches are he speaking of? It got to be, it has to be spiritual gifts, because money runs out.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
You got people that's billionaires that they might not spend it, but the next generation gonna spend it. They go broke. It can't be that, right?
That's right.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Stinginess is never, ever a form of showing God gratitude. So if we are ever selfish, ever stingy, that's much like the one with the talent, the one talent who hid his talent and made excuses as to why he hid. See, an investor, you know what an investor does? Invest things. That means an investor can never be stingy or selfish, because if an investor is stingy and selfish, why would I take what I have and pour into something that I really don't know that's going to succeed, although I want it to? Because if I'm selfish or stingy, I'm not taking what I have to invest in something else. So God is the first investor, and he expects us to do the same. The polar opposite, diametrically oppose one another, is invest and stingy.
Mm-hmm.
What investor do you know they're stingy? They may be stingy after they get their investment, but they're not stingy when they give it.
Amen.
Y'all follow me?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Because it says that we serve a selfish God. But not selfish to the point of a jealous God. Not jealous according to the jealousy that we know of. It's a jealous God that says, I am who I am. I am king, and I only deserve this. Place no other idols before me. And do not make the mistake in that you cannot be like me in the form of being selfish, because what you would then do, see, God is so not selfish, because look, if he was that jealous, why then do he give us something called free will? So can you be selfish and still please God? Can you be, you know, in this, with this line of questioning here, can you be stingy and still be grateful to God and show God gratitude? Absolutely not. Because then what will happen is you will say, no, God, I don't want to sing in the choir. I know you gave me the voice. You say, no, God, I don't want to help them. I know you gave me the finances to do so. No, God, I don't want to help the youth. I know you gave me the education and the knowledge to do so and spew all the information, but I don't want to. So what good are you? And the Bible clearly says, do not, Mr. DJ, withhold any good thing from those who need it. Good things come from God. Okay. So hopefully that helps everybody. All right, Ms. Candy. I'm going to get to question number two. What we got?
Says, there's a couple who I've been friends with for years, and they recently lost their 7-year-old daughter. I've always been able to provide a word of encouragement to help them during tough times. How can I help to encourage them in being grateful during this difficult time when they feel as though life is no longer worth living?
I would offer words of encouragement. Don't quote me the scriptures, but I would let them know the question was asked, hey, you know, where were you when Christ was put on the cross? He in the same place that he's in now. He's in the exact same place that he's in now. In other words, he watched his son he crucified, and he was perfect. I mean, what you have to do is stay in the Word, stay prayerful, and let it be known that God is still in charge and that he is perfect. He doesn't make mistakes. It's unfortunate. And to really drive the point home, you know, a lot of people say, well, man, I ain't trying to hear that. That's my baby girl or baby boy or what have you. But the most important thing that you can do for someone who suffered a loss is to encourage them by letting them know that you will see them again. Lean on your faith, and you will see them again. What you have to do is stay in the Word to your understanding and your faith. And if you do what you're supposed to, then you will see them again. And hold on to that.
Okay. Ms. Tiana?
Basically, along the lines of what Mr. DJ said, it's really about knowing that God has a plan for each and every one of our lives. And even though to our flesh, to the flesh right now, it may not be comforting, that's exactly, leaning on God is exactly what he will do. Because he tells us in his word, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. It's providing them that knowledge that by walking in their faith, that there's an overwhelming understanding that as this 7-year-old child is walking in a place in which they are now safe, they're no longer in a place that may bring them harm. And that all they have to do is rely on God. And it may not be something that they want to hear at this moment in time, but it's something that's just constantly remind them that God is always there, always present. And as Mr. DJ said, the same thing happens with his son. And look at the life, that everlasting life in which he has bore for their child, in which he has also bore for them. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, both of those are absolutely correct. Okay, and that's just what it is. Okay, absolutely correct answer. So thank you for both of those. All right. Here goes a third email question, y'all. Okay, I'm going to say this one, Ms. Candy. This email question, and I'm going to start with you first, Ms. Tiana. Simple, straight to the point. And it says, is it possible that you can be grateful and a sinner at the same time?
yes, absolutely. Oh. Can be grateful and a sinner at the same time.
Okay. And explain how. I'm adding on and explain how so everybody can understand how is that possible.
Sure. We are all sinners. And what we can also ask for repentance for our sins and be grateful that God himself provides us that repentance through his grace and his mercy. So no matter what I've done, I already know that his son died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, for our salvation. So I have to own what I've done and ask for that forgiveness of him and be grateful that he is even willing to do so.
Okay.
So, yes.
Okay. Mr. DJ, what you got to say?
I say absolutely not.
Okay.
And the reason why is because by definition in the Bible, y'all please forgive me, I don't have my Bible here to back up any of my scriptures or what I'm telling you, but by definition in the Bible, a sinner is one that practices sin, simply put.
Mm.
And we're Christians. We're going to fall short, and we get back up again. That's what separates us from sinners. So if you're not going to stay down and waddle in your sin, I mean, there's even places in the Bible where he says, go and sin no more. I'm saying that that's what we do. But as a sinner don't care nothing about that. A sinner just practices sin. So, no, there's no way that sinner could be grateful as well as practicing sin. That's just my
Okay. Do you have anything to say, Ms. Tiana, or
I can say thank you.
Who did the same as Candy on that one?
Tell me the question again, please.
Is it possible to be grateful yet a sinner at the same time?
I would say yes, and the reason why I would say yes is this. It really depends on the lens in which you're sitting. When I say that, I mean I agree with Mr. DJ as far as a sinner is someone who is actively doing something. However, it's the fine line that we all walk. So you're living a Christian life, and you are so grateful for salvation. You're grateful that you know that you have a God who is your intercessor. You're grateful for all of these things sincerely. Does that being grateful stop you from falling into sin? A lot of times, yes, but not every time. So the moment that I make a mistake, does that mean that I'm no longer grateful? I don't think so. It means just that. I made a mistake. I gave into a weakness, whatever it was. But again, Mr. DJ says, what separates us is we get back up again. So having that life of gratefulness, having that gratitude already set down in me helps me to get back up if I should fall down. Whereas with other people who might not know God, not having that gratitude, not having that sense of gratefulness, not knowing that God is always going to be there for them, allows them to remain in a state of sin. So I agree with the definition portion of it, but I would say I disagree with whether or not it can happen, simply because I can be living in life of gratitude and make a mistake, and in the moment I made a mistake, I'm a sinner, but it doesn't mean that I'm no longer grateful.
Okay.
Mr. Carr, I just want to add, of course, by the definition, I mean, as a Christian, you are allowed to make a mistake. You look at Peter. Peter wasn't a sinner. He walked with Jesus. Now, did he sin? Sure. But he didn't stay in sin. And that's the only point that I'm driving at. You know, if you're a sinner, you're a sinner. It is what it is. You know, I can, just because I go and pick up 10-pound dumbbells or barbells, that doesn't make me a trainer. A trainer is a person, that's what they do. That's what they practice. That's what they do. I go get on the elliptical machine or go work out one time, that doesn't make me a fitness guru or, you know, by definition, I'm still not a trainer. I may train that day, but that still doesn't make me a trainer. So the only thing I'm saying is by definition, you know, according to God, that he knows us, and we know his voice. That's why we're not sinners. Now, whether you're a saint or not, I can't speak on, but I'm just saying the fact that you know right from wrong, and you obey his voice, you get up, you ask for repentance, then you're not a sinner. Don't let nobody tell you that you're a sinner. You're not. You're human. But you're still not a sinner. By definition, that sinner is a person that's what they do. They practice sin.
Okay. Woo! So I'm going to pose these questions out before I give this analogy and this answer. Parents, leaders, role models, authority figures, you on the phone. If you tell someone and you're supervisor, CEO, parent, whatever it is, you're in a position of leadership. If you tell them to do something and they don't do it, is it a form of appreciation?
If you tell them to do something and you said they don't do it?
And they don't do it. Is that a form of appreciation?
Appreciation to you or appreciation to God?
Appreciation to the one who told them. To you.
Would that be
a form of appreciation, Ms. Deanna?
Oh, no, it's not.
Ms. Candy?
No.
Mr. DJ?
I don't think so.
Okay. No, it's not appreciation. You know, the Bible says there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but in the end leads to destruction. I love that verse because what God is saying is opinions don't matter to him.
That's right.
The question was, can you be grateful and a sinner at the same time? There's a way that seemeth right unto man. So we'll justify our stance of where we are to try and slip on in. Y'all know that? In other words, let me ask this next question. Is it possible for one to say they love you and they are happy to have you as a wife or as a husband, yet they always cheat on you? I'm going to make it real because, see, when it comes to God, we say what God should take. So let me see what you should take. And let me ask this question again.
All right.
Somebody say they love you. In other words, I'm grateful for you, but yet they're a sinner. They cheat on you all the time. Are they grateful to have you as a spouse? Miss Tiana, are they?
I would say no.
You would say no? Miss Candy, are they?
No.
Mr. DJ, are they?
They're very selfish. No.
No. In other words, how is it possible that we can be grateful and a sinner? Because a sinner says that sin, you know what sin is? To know to do what's right and to do wrong anyways. So in other words, how can we be grateful to God, yet we still do what we do? Now, theoretically, it sounds good, and we want to make it say, yeah, that I'm still grateful, only because we have the bells and the whistles that go with it. If y'all recall, just last night, I gave a valid point. It says, if you grow in gifts but don't grow in gratitude, what have you gained? I followed that up by saying, if God gives it to you, but you don't know what to do with it, it won't make you happy. In other words, God has given us grace and mercy, but we don't know what to do with it. So what we do is maliciously, we misuse grace and mercy. And we often follow grace and mercy up with an excuse. God's direct command is for, he says, we are to be perfect because he's perfect. In other words, God is saying, always be grateful for me. Always keep me at the top of mind. Because to be perfect means don't matter what people see. We drive perfection by what the outer appearance is, but God drives perfection by he blots out all sin and you go forward from today. See, this is why we struggle with perfection. Hence, we struggle with what is the true definition of being grateful, because our definition of being grateful says, I have the terminology down. I have the antics down. I call in. I go to the building called church. I read my Bible. So, yes, I messed up, but that don't mean that I'm not grateful, but I challenge that. I challenge that because somebody else has the antics down that they wear a wedding band. They kiss their husband or their wife. They take care of their children. They take care of the house. They do everything right, but they still cheat. So are they truly grateful? See, I got to use the word truly because we shouldn't have to use that, but for our humanistic viewpoints, are they truly grateful for the spouse in which they have?
Mm-hmm.
Are they? You know, when we're grateful for something, that means nothing else can take its place. So when we're grateful for God, that means our self-ambitions no longer have full power and authority over the Word of God. That means sin minimizes in our life simply because we're grateful for God. In other words, I'm happy with the spouse I have. I don't need nobody else. Y'all heard her. You know, I'm sold out. See, when we're not sold out, I mean, when we have vacancies, sin comes in. But when you sold out, gratitude stands strong.
Right.
What I'm saying is that I don't need whatever you got to offer, world. Y'all hear this?
Yes, sir.
Because, see, it has to be applicable to God. You know, God said he'll meet us right where we are. It has to be applicable. Now, you understand that the spirit came first. You know, people say, which one came first, the egg or the chicken? Well, let me ask you this. The spirit came before the natural. So if you wouldn't want it done to you naturally, do you think God wants that done to him spiritually? Now, wouldn't we be what the Bible calls a hypocrite if we say that we can be grateful and a sinner? In other words, we'd be a hypocrite because the very person who said they loved you and they cheated on you, you still should be with them. You should have forgave them. And you should have never left them alone because, see, it would make us a hypocrite to say that, hold on, I'm not going to expect to take it from people, but I want God to take it from me. In other words, I ain't going to let nobody cheat on me because if you really love me, you wouldn't have did what you did. But yet, we do that to God. Isn't that not a form of hypocrisy, Ms. Tim?
It is.
Is that not, Ms. Candy?
Yes.
So what we're trying to do is we get on the curve system and we try and, you know, be a judge before God's judgment. Now, people say only God can judge me. Well, when it comes to being grateful and a sinner at the same time, I don't think we want God to judge me. You know how people say only God can judge me? True, but not in the sense that you're meaning it. In other words, you just don't want people to tell you nothing. The fact of the matter is, I would rather DJ judge me. DJ, I'm sure you would rather Candy judge you. Miss Candy, I'm sure you would rather Miss Tiana judge you. Miss Tiana, I'm sure you would rather me judge you. In other words, I want God to judge. See, if God judges us, he ain't missing nothing.
That's right.
If God judges us, let me translate it. We go straight to hell. The Bible said, if you judge, you will be judged, but if you forgive, you will be forgiven. He's telling you there's a heaven in forgiveness and there's a hell in his judgment. One sin can send you to straight to hell, and that one sin is we was born into sin, iniquity. So God gives us the opportunity to show gratitude by, you know what, I'm going to blot out what you did wrong. You cheated on me? Bam, I'm going to blot that out. So just because we have the ritualism going down and we got it down packed and we praying and we know the word of God, let us not fall under the category when God says, depart from me, I never knew you, and we start to argue with God, but I cast out demons in your name. I spoke prophetic words in your name. I healed people in your name. This is what we think means that I can sin and still be grateful. If you're grateful for something, that means it will shut out. It will cancel out everything else that it tells you not to do. How can a child be grateful for their home that the parent has provided them with, yet the parents, they don't smoke, and they smoke anyway? How grateful is that? I don't think y'all heard me. How grateful is that, people?
My Lord.
So how grateful is it, just because we're not smoking but we're doing other stuff that God says not to do, how grateful are we really to him? Or do we take God's kindness for weakness? In other words, translated, do we take God to play with? Now, I know the consensus will be, no, I don't take God to play with. Well, if somebody didn't take you to play with, why are they still cheating on you?
Right.
Can somebody say they take you serious, they're still cheating on you? Is that possible?
No.
So can we say we take God serious yet we still doing what we do, sinning? And saying we're grateful? Is that possible?
Nope.
That's a wrong question. There you go. There you go, yes. Y'all get it?
Yes, sir.
Right. Because y'all know what it is. When we're grateful for something, we grateful, Miss Candy, when I'm grateful for your friendship, I'm going to do everything it takes to maintain that friendship. DJ, when I'm grateful to be calling you a brother, I'm going to do everything it takes to maintain that brotherhood. I'm not going to double talk, backbite, and talk to Tiana about you when I'm grateful for your friendship. Okay? Miss Candy, that last email question, and then we'll get to one. We want one caller. Hey, y'all, throw out a question that you may have. Okay? And we're going to start this last email question out with Miss Tiana, then we're going to jump to Mr. DJ, and then we're going to get to a caller. All right?
All right.
You ready?
Yes.
I have a family member who has been diagnosed with brain cancer and also found out that she is 6 weeks pregnant. She wants to know how can she be grateful for the blessing that is growing inside of her while at the same time she is greatly suffering from the disease that is plaguing her body. And the doctors say there is nothing more that they can do.
Awesome question. Well, she has to be grateful for the life that God has gifted her to have. A child is nothing to play with, and it is something that God has intended for her. So this is an opportunity for her to give life as God has given her. No matter what may be going on, that's the doctor's report. Truly, she needs to be calling on God. Because it's his report that we should believe. Because the doctors may say there's nothing more we can do. But I've seen plenty of what the world calls miracles happen when we put our faith in him. Because he is giving her something to bestow on the rest of the world with this life that he has granted her to give birth. So that's where I will stand right now.
Okay. Mr. DJ, what you got?
I totally agree, and she don't have to look anywhere else for short of miracles. She can look at myself. I'm a living witness. I was blinded for 2 years. I don't have a one good eye now, but, hey, the doctor's been told me that I would never see my child graduate or be able to walk my daughter down the aisle to her to get married, and I'm just saying that's not the end of the story. You have to look to God in everything you do. The miracle of childbirth, everybody doesn't have that. Everyone doesn't know that. So if she was able to conceive a child, even though she had cancer, that's a blessing within itself. You know, she may not see that, but stay true to your prayer and to your faith, and you never know. You might beat that cancer. You might beat that cancer so bad, you might be the poster child for the beating that cancer, and go ahead and raise your daughter and your blessing. So I totally agree with Miss Tiana. You know, don't lean on to man's understanding and judgment alone. I mean, they put doctors here for a reason, but their understanding is limited. You know, you can explain to me all day long how round the sun is, although you've never been there. or how round the moon is, although you've never been there. Now, explain to me when or why is the sun and the moon out at the same time, or why you got thunder while it's snowing. See, they can't answer those. That's when even they have to bow down, you know, and lean on understanding to God. So just tell her to stay prayed up and stay strengthened in your word and in your faith and lean to God.
All right, now that's what it is, man. Those are two excellent answers. I mean, and now the focus is being shifted to thinking the way that God would think and responding how he would respond. Y'all, and this is why we do the Monday Night Raw, because it causes us to dig deep. You know what I mean, Miss Tiana? Where we dig deep and we give a godly response, and that the Bible calls it rightly dividing the word of God. It's like dividing a piece of pie. You know, DJ might not need, you know, a large piece of pie, but somebody else do. See, when you rightly divide the word of God, you give each person the portion that they need.
That's right.
Amen. Amen.
I need big piece, me.
See how they go?
Yes.
Yeah. And it becomes a revelation word to somebody's life. Oh, now, it's good for everybody, but not everybody going to receive it at the same time.
All right.
Amen.
Y'all get it? Monday Night Raw. That's why we do it. We follow up with some legit questions and some legit answers. So, Miss Candy, let's get to a caller right quick. We have a caller with a question.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Good evening, caller. Go ahead with your question for this evening.
Good evening. My question is related to one of the four aspects of being grateful, the one that says to tell others what God has done. So my question is, how can we tell others what God has done without being labeled as prideful?
Can you repeat that? How can you tell others what God has done? What?
How can we tell others what God has done without being labeled as prideful?
Okay, without being labeled as prideful?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay, it looks at how you view the word prideful. If I'm telling others what God has done and that's prideful, then I'll just be prideful because I'm in his glory and his goodness. His mercy endures and everlasting. I mean, if it's something about myself, that's a little different. See, there's a way to tell others what God has done. If you keep putting yourself up, then they won't even know about God. It'll be all about you. So you have to kind of watch that and make sure you know, God has blessed me with this. He will do that for you as well. Better yet, what do you need? You know, let me help you do this, or why don't you come with me?
You
know, out of it. Take yourself out of it. You know, if you see someone doing something that they could use the help for, then, you know, take yourself out of it and put God in there, you know.
Wow. That's it. What you got, Miss Tim?
Yeah, pretty much aligned. I literally wrote down, just give him the glory. Because it's nothing about yourself. If you are praising God for what he's done, then there is no pride in that equation because you yourself didn't do a thing. It's all what he has laid out. It's all his plan. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. And it is solely talking to that. And I love how Mr. GJ said, bring them along. And that's that fourth one. We talked about telling about others about it. We also talk about offering the gifts of ourselves, our time, and our resources. So if we are praising what God has done for us and taking action with it in regards to those whom we're sharing this with, then there's nothing but him to fall on. Pride is not even in the equation. And if it's determined, if it is perceived as prideful, then there's something definitely either wrong in the communication or in the listening ear.
Ms. Candy, something quickly you want to add, what you got?
I would agree with what has been said because the key thing is if you are lifting God up, then it's not prideful. But if you are kind of inserting yourself into the equation, making it more about your accomplishment as opposed to what God has blessed you with, that's how you get into the trouble with that. So just make sure that when you're speaking, you're really speaking about what God has done and not what you've done.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to challenge. Everybody did a great job. Those excellent answers. I'm going to challenge and go a step further. I'm going to go, because those were, I'm just piggybacking. I'm not changing nothing no one said, but I'm going to go a step further. By definition, glory, when we give God glory, that means glory is a divine, the Bible says, a divine quality. It's the, like, the splendor of God, the brightness, you know, somebody, you know, basking in God's glory, just like, wow. Well, you know how you see, you see that bright light, like, that's glory.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? That's why it says we should be the light and the salt, meaning we should be God's studious, glorious pupils. In other words, it shouldn't be on us. It should be on God. Now, we got to be careful. Listen to this caller with the question. To be very careful, because we can be very prideful and still give God's praise. Easy. Y'all know that scripture for everything that's in the world? The Bible answers everything. I said that to somebody a long time ago. They got mad, but it's the truth. Listen to the question. Caller, ask that question one more time.
How can we tell others what God has done without being labeled as prideful?
You can mess this up. You know, the Bible says, do not be like heathens. Ooh, heathens, people in the world. People who sin. Some people who sin carelessly, aimlessly, and just continue to do it. Some people sin not knowing. Some people sin and they say my name. But do not be like heathens, for they go out into the synagogues. Y'all know what a synagogue is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
They go out into churches. Uh-oh. Hold on. God going somewhere with this one. He going somewhere with this one. So now you're involving church with your response, God. What else you got to tell us? Do not be like them, because they go out in churches and they pray in front of everybody to be seen and heard. Uh-oh. Whoa. For all these answers we got, we just got to be careful with this. You can easily be prideful. Easily. And think you're giving God glory. Because it's all about how you get loud. It's all about how you drop to the floor. It's all about how you jump around and dance. It's all about how you pray. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. So, hold on. So when Mr. Carr said, just pray and just be normal. So why I got to be all articulate? Mr. Carr, why you got to be articulate when you pray? Are you being prideful? Very well could be. Coming from the horse's mouth. Am I trying to tickle y'all fancy, or I'm trying to get the word of God prayer as a union under one to God?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You know why some people are afraid to pray in front of people? Simply because other people with pride have said this is the standard in which you should pray. And now you say, I don't know God like this, so I'd rather not pray.
Mm.
Somebody then took away the glory from God.
Yeah.
That's right.
Because splendor should, Lord have mercy. You can praise God and be praising using the name of God. Yeah, you can be praising God using the name of God as a cover-up to put the attention on you. You give God the glory by saying, I'm the middleman. You don't need me. Here he is. Ooh. Anybody know somebody who don't want to give you the number to their company where they got it from? They want to be the middleman. They want to be your communication. They want to be the plug. Why they can't give the number to you? Because they don't want you to have a direct relationship with. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Anybody ever experienced that before?
Yes, sir.
Huh? Mr. DJ, where you get them shoes from? Yeah, my boy hooked me up. I tell him about it. Oh, Mr. DJ couldn't give me the number.
Right.
Mm.
Huh? This is why, y'all, I'm being honest. Caller with the question. Can you be powerful and, you know, miss the mark by giving God the glory? Yes, you can. You know how many spiritual mamas and daddies, people say, I'm your spiritual mom, your spiritual daddy? Wow. Are you really? Or are you the one who's saying that I always had to come to you?
Wow.
Y'all getting mad at me now?
Mm.
Somebody got a spiritual mom and dad, huh? Well, I don't, because mine is God. No disrespect to those who do, but I don't have to go to a person when I can go to him.
That's right.
Who was Jesus' spiritual mom and daddy? Y'all catching this? You can be prideful by saying, I got what you need. And you don't want them. See, when God gets the glory, meaning he's basking in splendor, that means John the Baptist, I take a back seat. John the Baptist turned it over to Jesus to get the glory. He said, y'all go to him, not me. Ooh, that means Mr. Carr say, I don't know what y'all looking at me for. You pray to God. I don't have no power in my prayer that you don't have in yours. But if Mr. Carr wanted the glory and taking it away from God, I'll use the name of God and say, call me. Why you ain't call me? Call me when you need it. Let us pray together. Uh-oh. Am I really saying let us pray together, or am I trying to say, I'm trying to hook you to me to say that I got what you need and not God? Now, that can be genuine, but the spirit of discernment will tell you which one is. Because pride will keep you from sending them directly to the source. See, pride will say, look at me. But when you give God the glory, right? When you give him gratitude, you say it ain't me, it's him. When you give God glory, you tell people everything I did, everything you can do. See, this is how you give somebody glory, God. In other words, you say, hold on, shoot. God bless me with the gym, and this is not, I'm not boasting and bragging in the gym. I don't mind, see, in other words, how I give God the glory from the gym and not be prideful. Come and train with me. Come and work out with me. See, everything that he gave me, I'm going to give to you. Lord, I got to share it with you.
Amen.
In other words, it was never for me. He just put it in my hands to give to you. Y'all don't hear me.
Yes.
Because the word pride said me. So that means it's my gym, get out. But see, when God gets the glory, I can never say it's my gym. So that means when you, see, I don't care how intelligent or intellectual or how much discernment or how wise you say you are. When God gets the glory, what you do is you cause yourself to be down so others can be up. So I say, Miss Candy, can you teach me something? Can you teach me how to forgive? I may know how to forgive, but watch the glory of God by me lifting her up. Come on, Christians, how many of you are able to do that?
True.
So who getting the glory again? Because, see, we got so much pride that we would never put ourselves down. But let me show you one person who did put themselves down. I ain't talking about putting down in a literal sense. I'm talking about putting down literally. Jesus put himself down. You know he set up high. Look at what he did. He came down. He came down. He came down on our level. Just so he can lift us up. We refuse to bring pride down so we can lift others up. See, we want glory.
That's right.
So it's all about how we pray. It's all about you calling in the Sunday morning breakfast. You can't get this nowhere else. That's a lie. You can get this right on your own if you choose to. Because God didn't give us nothing that you don't have. And who said that we got it all wrapped tight? See, that's the truth of the matter.
I have a question, Mr.
Yes, sir. What you got?
Is that the same thing as some of these preachers that say, you know, I come and speak for you or your cause, you know, you go and give me
$2,400.
Some preachers don't want to pray or preach unless, you know, unless you pay them a certain amount of money. They ain't coming. They ain't going to even show up. I'm just saying, it seems that, you know, just like a teacher, you know, we get paid as teachers, but if a kid comes up to you and asks you, hey, how do you do this? You know, you don't turn that kid away, or even an adult if you got that knowledge.
See, this is the thing about the Word of God, y'all. Can I tell y'all and be honest with y'all? The thing about the Word of God, first of all, let me hold on 1 second, Mr. DJ. Caller, did we answer your question as a whole?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Okay. Now, Mr. DJ, with that being said, and we're going to get off the line in a minute, you got to be very careful with that because a lot of times, here we go, leaning to our own understanding.
Okay.
God is a business. in the worldly sense business, meaning dollars and cents, but God is all about business in the spiritual sense that has nothing to do with dollars.
Right.
A lot of times people don't have a problem with the amount of money that Christian folk make simply because what their agenda is. See, typically we have a problem with things that don't line up with our agenda, and typically we condone things that do line up with our agenda. Okay? So with pastoralship, what has happened is some, you can put whether you say many or a few, have taken the liberty to rearrange God's calling. You got to understand Christianity in its purest form. I didn't say what you think, because let's not lean to our own understanding and we'll get to the bottom of this. Christianity in its purest form, I'm talking about apostleship, teachers, preachers, evangelism, prophets. Jesus was all of that.
Right.
Show me what dollar did he collect. You take on the calling of God, dollars have no place in your life because you know that God has called you, therefore he's going to provide for you every step of the way. But see, the mixture comes in with carnal Christianity. In other words, I want to be in God so strong, but I also want to make a living. So we don't totally trust God and his provisions. We have to make our own, and therefore we put a natural price tag on it. But what happens with that is when somebody cannot afford the thing that God gave you to give to them freely, now you deny them. Now, is that God? Or is that money? Because now money is your master, because money dictates to whether you go or not, not God. Does that answer your question?
Yes, sir.
He says you can't serve both. So if the money, the price tag, now somebody might say, but they have to make a living. Your living is in Christ. If he provided for Jesus, who didn't have a place to lay his head, do you not understand that's the greatest pastor to ever walk the face of this earth? Now, somebody wants to get sporty and say, but that was back then. But do you not understand what he did back then applies today? Simply because he said, I'm the same God yesterday, today, and forevermore. What that sounds off to me and says that if Jesus was here today, he would have done the same thing. For those who want to be sporty and smart. That means Jesus' lifestyle applied back then and it applies today. If it didn't apply today, then why do you read your Bible? Ain't nothing changing that Bible. It only changed the parts that you wanted to make change, but it still ain't going to work. So with pastoralship, you got to understand that that's you have been called to be holy means set apart. To be set apart means I don't do what the world do. That means God will supply my every need. So when it's a calling for me to go, it ain't going to be stipulated by money. It's going to be stipulated by God's yes or no. Understood?
Oh, yes.
Y'all get it? And the reason I'm telling you this is because so many entertain the thought of being a pastor for pride reasons, glory, and to take away gratitude from God and put it on us, because now it becomes the measure of who can preach the best. You got some people that get so cocky with it, they'll say, I don't want your money. Just whatever I collect, let me keep. In other words, I know what God has given me, and I'm going to use it for my gain to get money. Y'all better hear this. This is why so many will allow families to go down the drain. You got people, mothers, daughters, fathers, sons, people, cousins, and aunties, and uncles, and nephews in the same family that don't get along. But why can't the pastor answer the question? You know why? The pastor don't want to touch it, because whoever goes to the church is donating or giving money, and a pastor would rather get the money or get accolades as opposed to help their family out. Remember, I said this some time ago on the phone. See, those who are bold in Christ don't mind risking the friendship. In other words, okay, Candy, go here, but if Candy being disrespectful to her mother, I need to address Candy. But a lot of people won't do it because Candy is in my congregation, not her mama. So have you failed God, or what have you done? Because the Bible that I read says,
when you see your brother in error, you go to them in love and restore them, lest ye be tempted and also fail. In other words, when we fail to correct something that is wrong, and if you say, well, I didn't see the wrong, that means something is really wrong with you. Because, see, when we operate in light, light exposes wrong, so that means light, God ain't with you then. If you don't see no wrong with it, that means you don't have the same mind that God has. And he tells us the same mind Jesus had, we should have. Mm. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
It does.
It's real, y'all. It's real. Okay, with that being said, we can go ahead and pray. And, y'all, I wanna pray for Mr. DJ tonight. You know, nothing major, but we're going to lift Mr. DJ up, not as a ritual, because we know the healing is already there. Everything that God needs to do is already done. Huh? And God has a calling on his life. Real tall. Miss Candy, you mind go ahead and pray, please?
Father God, we thank you for this message tonight, Lord, for delivering your word. Lord, we thank you for using each and every person on the line to help us not only to see where we are with you, Lord, but where we need to grow in our relationship with you. Lord, tonight we want to lift up to you our brother, Mr. DJ. Lord, we pray over him right now, not only that your will be done in his life, Lord, but he continues to seek after you, Lord, and follow you all the days of his life. Lord, we pray right now for his complete restoration, Lord, from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet, Lord. We pray that you would restore him everything, not only his sight, Lord, but everything that is not in line with you, Lord. We pray right now that you would line it up, Lord. Give him a complete and total healing, Lord. Allow him to be a testimony of your goodness and your grace. In Jesus' name we pray right now, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Y'all have a great night. Take these things and run with them now. As we talked about tonight on Monday Night Raw at the Learning Center, you know, be grateful. You know, show that gratitude towards God. Giving of yourself. Okay? Giving of yourself. Every gift that God has given you, every talent he has given you to you, you should be using to be a fisher of men. You should be pulling people towards God. The Bible says, if you lift me up, I draw all men to me. In other words, stop lifting yourself up and start lifting God up and watch the larger influence that you have on people. Not by you, but because of God. Encourage people. Encourage them. Encourage them in a godly way. In other words, don't use the gift to win them over. Use the God to win them over.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Y'all have a great night. Y'all, we have a Bible study on Wednesday. We'll see y'all there.
All right.
Good night.
Good night.